Today, on You're Watching a Movie with Silas Lindenstein, I am interviewing director of the new wonderful film, Dandelion, Nicole Rigel. Nicole is the writer, director of Dandelion, which is my top movie of 2024 so far. I really enjoyed this film. And there is a review on the page, on the website, and of course in a past episode that you can go listen to my review of this film and see why I like it so much. I know people that went out to see it based off of my review, and they also enjoyed it. So I'm not crazy. I am not the crazy one here, okay? If you didn't like it, you're the crazy one. Okay? Let's get that straight. Anyway, I'm Silas Lindenstein. I'm glad to have you here. And this was a wonderful interview. It's not often I get to direct. I'm sorry, not often that I get to interview the director of a favorite film of mine. So I'm pretty stoked about this. So yeah, we had a wonderful talk. She answered my questions beautifully, wonderfully, truly. And I think she's got a great film. I'm very hopeful that not only does this work get discovered later on, her next film gets discovered. And then one day people are going to look back and go like, who first saw her as the great director that she was going to be to all of us? Who watched the movie, the indie movie that started it all? And they're going to go, Silas Lindenstein. He knew what was up because he saw it. This film needs to get seen by more people. That's what I'm definitely saying for sure. So, yeah. So I think we should just get into the interview, you know? So I want you to sit back, open your hearts and open your ear holes and listen to this 7 questions interview episode with writer director Nicole Rigel.
You're watching a movie with Silas.
How are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you doing, Silas?
Good. So my name is Silas. I'm with You're Watching a Movie with Silas Lindenstein. And then also, I was very excited about this film. I host another show called Black and a Half, which really likes to focus on movies that feature people, persons of color and historically disenfranchised folks. And Dandelion was, the trailer was wonderful. I loved it. Bring that in. So I was like, okay, I got to check this out. And let me first, like, I think it's my favorite movie of the year. I will say that. I did get to see it last night. Well,
but thank you. Tell everyone to go see it Friday.
I will. Absolutely. It's, you had such delicate moments of the little shots you had of, the surroundings when you'd focus on those little bits and then your flashbacks while she was playing. There was just so many, and what really came through to me is, as an artist myself, this longing of not being where she wants to be in her life. Mm-hmm. I had to, my wife came in the room and was like, what are you watching? And I like stopped it and I had to talk to her like 15 minutes about how this film was affecting me. Like in that moment.
I love that. And please tell everyone.
Absolutely. When you wrote the film, did you have in your head a black actress for the role, or was that from auditions?
No, I wrote it, and it's how I approach everything. It's how I approach Holler. Where I was like, then you have auditions and it's the same for Casey. And then you see, okay, who am I drawn to? And then mm-hmm. based on who I'm drawn to, the script gets tailored in collaboration with that person around them. And what I mean by that is I start to tailor it around their mannerisms and things and how they deliver dialogue or have quiet, like I kind of keep it to myself, but in my director mind, I watch what their strengths are and what I think maybe the weaknesses are, but really where are their strengths so that I can, you know, help them to craft the best performance possible. Now, if the role really calls for, you know, a specific ethnicity, like Dandelion could have been Asian American. Like if, yes. But if it's, you're playing someone, you know, like Ruth didn't need to be white because the it's a very white town that she's in. And it was a more semi-autobiographical, but film, but in this, it was, I started seeing these Black actresses who were fantastic and then watched their previous work and watched Kiki in Beale Street from long ago. And then I knew what she could do on screen and it fit with how I was looking to capture Dandelion, but I didn't know if she could sing. So once I had it narrowed down to several girls, I then needed the tapes. I needed singing tape auditions from them. So then it was about the casting director and I saying, every girl has to now submit a singing tape. And some of them had their singing out there, but I needed to just sit in the quiet and listen to something they prepared for this film. So then I just went through all these singing tapes and Kiki had a very storytelling voice, very pretty voice. But there was something distinctly about just something about her voice that grabbed me where I felt like she was telling a story. It wasn't the biggest diva voice on the tapes, but that's not what this film called for. I needed a storytelling voice.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So then it became Dandelion's a, you know, Black woman. And then it was really, I didn't really start to tailor it myself of like, this is what it would be for a Black woman. I didn't really do that. I just left the door open enough to be like, hey, you're going to have to, you know, tailor it a bit around you. So you just approach me when something, just you approach me, you tell me, like, you know. And so there were things, like there was one scene that didn't make it into the film where it was a single mom and their son or I think daughter, and they're Black, and there's a scene in the guitar store and they're helping this kid search for a guitar. And I remember Kiki approaching me saying, hey, like, you know, we see a lot, what if it's a Black family and mom and dad are both there? I was like, oh, okay. I didn't think of that. And so then we changed the scene to that. It was just leaving the door open to, you know, have a Black actress like approach me as a white girl.
That's wonderful. I mean, even just from the casting perspective there of, as far as being open, I get so many audition notices to go in and where they seem fully invested on casting the look that they want for it. And I applaud you for being open to finding the right soul for the,
role. The right soul, and you have to, and it takes the direct, you as a director being secure enough to say, hey, I'm going to let them come in and, you know, like the scene I just mentioned, give me their thoughts on it. So you have to be approachable first of all. And then it's on the actor to know, hey, I'm still here to service this vision of their film. Like this is this filmmaker's film I'm coming onto, and I need to balance like approaching the filmmaker one way, but also I can't take away from that overall vision. Like that's, you know, top of the heap.
I love that. It, and you're the voices in it, like she has a wonderful voice. And this was the first movie I've seen in a long time where I was like, is there a soundtrack coming out? Cause I think I need to get that soundtrack. Right. That was
the soundtrack coming out. You were the first person I'm telling this to. It drops Friday when the movie's out.
That's fantastic. Yeah. I will be downloading that day.
Yes, there's a song on it called Custer Park and one called Honey that I love. But Custer Park, I think IFC's already released some things out there where you can listen to it, like some clips and teasers, but I hope that's the song of the year.
it's so uplifting
to hear. It's like the falling slowly of the movie, and it's both Kiki and Thomas on it, and it just feels so Aaron and Bryce, and yeah, I sing along to it all the time.
And I love the music because I do enjoy the music genuinely, that type of music. It's not my go-to. And I love that it challenged me when I saw the trailer and I was with a black actress and I was like, it's not in my mind what I'm going to think when I see a music film. But then I'm like, well, at the same time, I have Tracy Chapman on my iPod here.
Yeah.
Because I'm ancient.
Tracy Chapman was a big inspiration. Her and Julia Lotakin were big inspirations for Dandelion.
Was there any Jewel in there?
Yes, there was, because it was just a list of all these singer-songwriters I grew up listening to, like Jewel, Michelle Branch, Liz Phair, nowadays Phoebe Bridgers, Angel Olsen.
I just listened to Jewel on Marc Maron on WTF talk about how she used to tell people to shut up at audience, like when she was opening for people, because they were being rude to her. Yeah. She would feel this. She would feel the moment. I won't spoil it, but like,
yeah. Tell musicians to come see it. I really want a lot of singer songwriters to go see this, especially women in music.
That would be so fantastic. I hope this goes far. I hope it really, I really do hope it goes far. I do. So on my show, I always ask everybody 7 questions that are the same. It's my world famous 7 questions, and I'd love to hear your answers to these. Number one is, what are you most nerdy about? And nerdy doesn't necessarily mean like, it doesn't mean Star Trek or Star Wars, but what is that thing that you really deep dive into that you know a lot more than maybe most people, go on the rabbit holes? Like what's that thing that excites you? And I know it could be films, but.
The Scream movies.
The Scream movies.
The Scream movie. I am a Scream nerd. I want to be like the first woman to get the direct in the Scream, like a movie in the Scream franchise. I loved what the directors did with the last one. I am obsessed with Feige. I went to some of the locations earlier this year. I could knock it out of the park with Scream trivia. I have the poster in my like theater. I converted my attic into a theater. I have the big Scream poster in there. I'm upset. Like I would know all about Stu Mocker's house. I know about the background. Like I do Scream-a-thon every year. Like I watch every single Scream movie in a row. Scream movies.
That's great. Are you a big horror fan in general, or is it that franchise?
Yeah, I do love. I love horror films. I really love horror films. But Scream franchise, that was like got me really into movies. Like that got me really. It made me. I remember renting them at video stores when I was younger, and the first one scared the hell out of me. And the opening scene with Drew Barrymore, and it made me want to make movies. I was like, I want to do that. Like, I love Scream. I love talking about the Scream movies with people. I can quote it. Like, I can watch the movies and say all the lines of dialogue along with the characters.
It's amazing. I love it. All right. Number two, what's something that you love to eat?
Something I love to eat. Pistachio ice cream.
Ooh. Okay. That's a goat. I will grab that at frozen yogurt. I will grab the frozen yogurt if I'm there and I see pistachio because it's not always there. I do. It's got that mint, like it's a fake mint. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
There's like the gelato kind at the grocery store. It's like a fancy, it's not ice cream. It's like they do like a Pacific pistachio gelato. I forget the brand name. Oh.
I'll look for it. I'll look for that. Number three, what's something that you love to drink?
Something I love to drink. I love, man, this is so fucking hipster. I love natural wine. natural wine. Very into natural wine now. That has like the sediment in it and things.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there's a brand. There's a vineyard called Swick Wines. I think it's in Oregon. It's in Oregon. I think Swick Wines. I'm really into them right now.
That sounds hipster, and that would be Oregon for sure. Yeah.
I actually think it's Oregon. Yeah. Swick Wines.
Okay. Oh, I'm gonna look that up. Okay. Number four, what kind of music do you love?
Indie singer, yeah. Songwriter, Elliot Smith, Phoebe Bridgers, Boy Genius, Angel Olsen, Joy Ladkin, that singer. Yeah.
Okay. I suspected so. On that one. Number five, what do you love to create?
What do I love to create? Films. I love to create images, pictures. I love to create images more than writing. I love to think about an image, a photo, like movies or photographs to me. I love to think about the image and what does every single thing in this frame say.
To go back to your film real quick, I really did love how much you entered. I love the writing combined with the imagery that you had on that, and that I do feel is not usually someone is so heavy on one or the other, and it was just, I think that's why it was so beautiful to me, because the language and the words spoken, and then these beautiful images would pop in, and I was like, it's the best of both worlds for me for the writing.
I also love cooking. I love cooking.
Okay.
I'm trying to think of a non-film related thing. Like I love making food for people.
Okay. You bring joy in all different ways.
I try.
Visually. Number six, what's a game you love to play?
A game I love to play?
Yeah.
Cards Against Humanity.
Okay. Oh. I think it'd be a fun one.
You have to be the right crowd, the right sense of humor.
Yeah.
For that one. You have to be the right crowd before you bust out Cards Against Humanity.
That's for sure.
If I were to bust out Cards Against Humanity with a total stranger and they loved it, we would become best friends.
Okay. I love that. Okay. And last question. In 100 years, when someone reads your biography, what do you want to be remembered for?
I want to be remembered for being an influential director or filmmaker, like how people look at Luca Guadagnino or Andrea Arnold. I don't want people to look up female filmmakers throughout history and be on that list. I want to be a director right there with Sean Baker, with Luca, with Paul Thomas Anderson. I don't want people to put that qualifier there. I want to just be remembered as a solid director.
Well, you're there. I mean, this is, I think it's very clear. You are a solid filmmaker. This is, Dandelion is it's a delight. Thank you for putting it out there. Absolutely. Did you how long was the story in your head before you were able to get it out?
You mean writing it?
Yeah. Like did it,
like it was in my head for maybe while I was making, Holler. Forgot the name of my first movie. Usually I'm forming the next movie while I'm in production, when production begins on the previous one. And then I start writing during the editing process. I start outlining, laying it down. So about a year ahead, I'm thinking about it. And then by the time I'm completely finished with the first one, I have almost the finished script for the next one. But it's weird. It's like when I'm on, I think I know what I'm going to make next. And then when I'm on the process, the 2-year, 3-year process of making a film, then what I am going to make next, like, pops up and fully evolves in my head. So weird. And it's never what I like maybe thought I was going to do next.
Is it like a muse, or is like, what do you know what sparked Dandelion for you? Like what it was that made you suddenly go, was it an image
it was just coming out of the pandemic and having so many opportunities go away because of that, and just feeling like I'd almost had my shot. And then it didn't, like, literally no one was interested in me after Holler. And even now people are seeing Dandelion. It's not like people are knocking down my doors. Like, I'm still hustling, doing my own original thing. So far, these two movies combined, they haven't really moved the needle for me at all.
I think that's right? that's a shame. I'm like,
I know.
I will say I was very impressed, because the list that they showed me for Seattle screenings was very, when they first announced it, it was only like a few theaters. And I was like, oh, it's okay. And then I watched it and I was like, I can't believe that. And then I got an updated list and suddenly it's in way more, I think it's like in 12 different theaters here. It tripled in the last like week.
Yeah. It's been about, I think yesterday, 430 theaters. Holler was like 55 theaters. So, I mean, Nicole Weiss at IFC is like a genius. And I guess it's pushing more because I think more people are, maybe it is selling tickets. Maybe more people are going to see it than I expect. I mean, maybe that's why it's happening. I don't know.
You're going to have, in the Seattle Film Critics Society, you're going to have an advocate here pushing for this film.
I'm hoping that I write my own movies too, but I don't really care about, God, I have a manager right now who's furious with me saying this probably, but I don't really care that I win any awards or direct. I mean, I clearly made Dandelion, so clearly I don't, but being nominated amongst like directors I respect, that means something to me, because it means people feel I can hang there. You know what I mean? To me, it's not about winning or anything. It's about, I'm at least being, it's maybe a little antithetical to Dandelion, but it's like, hey, the critics, like, they think I belong here. I'm getting recognized. I'm not just working in this vacuum and moving on to the next. Like, there's people out there like yourself who love movies, and they're saying she deserves to be included here. It's about getting to be included. So that's like as far as it goes. I don't care if I win things. I just want to be included.
My big thing with awards has been it usually forces some other people to watch it, or get, you know, that they just wouldn't have, they wouldn't have thought of it unless there's so much. We are in an age that we're all trying to get eyeballs on content and we're being distracted. And yeah. I don't see things that I want to see. Like, I'm so distracted.
Yeah, I don't either. I see TV shows I love. I don't, when I go to the movies, I'm like, and I'm someone, I actually go to the movies. I spend quite a bit of money. I spend a small, because it's expensive to go to movies now. I spend a small fortune on going to the movies. But I love talking to the people at, you know, my local theater here in Nashville, the Belcourt. Like, they know me because I'm there so often. They know me. But yeah, I don't see a lot that I want to see in theaters. And I'm like, why is this what they're pushing out and losing money on? Like, why are you spending money on $100 million movie? Why don't you make a bunch of $10 million like quality movies? And you're not willing to spend $2 million on me, but you'll spend $100 million on a movie and lose 60% of that money. It makes no sense to me. No sense. No.
It's crazy. Okay, I know I gotta wrap it up now. I was expecting that, but Nicole, I want to thank you so much for spending your time with me and sharing this film and getting it out there for us. So I'll be pushing for it, and good
thank
luck.
Thank you, Silas. I appreciate you so much. I appreciate you watching it. I appreciate your contributions to cinema and keeping it alive. And I care about it. I'm really romantic about it, and so. I really appreciate you too.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're watching the movie with Silas.
Hey, that was it. That was the episode. Great interview. I told you, I wouldn't lie to you. Not here. Not here on You're Watching a Movie with Silas Lindenstein or Black and a Half, the other podcast that this is simultaneously broadcasting under. Neither of us would lie to you. The same person on both podcasts, but both halves of me will not lie to you. I knew it'd be a great episode, and it was. So I want to thank you. Thank you for tuning in. If you like that interview, be sure to hit the subscribe button so you can be notified the next time a good interview shows up. All right. And you can listen. I've had some wonderful guests lately. I don't know if you've noticed. You should, if you haven't, go back and listen to them. This is getting hot. This is going to be the place to be here on the internets and on the websicles. Okay. Find it. Be here. Love it. And for all of you that have been here supporting me, I thank you. But right now, I just want to mostly thank you for watching a movie with Silas Lindenstein.
You're watching a movie with Silas Lindenstein in the theaters, you find this. So go on and press play and rewind this. This speech that is timeless. Love it like it or we lose it, can't find it. And we ain't keen on being reminded about the film if it isn't tough. We spend a lot of time at the cinema. It's just me and my friends, we watch plenty stuff. For movies, yeah, I've been above. Whether big or they small, no, for me don't make a difference, love. You're watching a movie with Silas Lindenstein in the theaters, you find this. So go on and press play and rewind this. This speech that is timeless. Love it like it or we lose it, can't find it. And we ain't keen on being reminded about the film if it didn't hit. No, gotta lose it. Watch movies with my friends, bringing joy, that's the blueprint. So come on and let's do this. Leave pain behind us and relax your mind. Come watch a movie with Silas. Yeah.